The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hurry, Elizabeth. If you start talking right now, no one will know you weren't here on time.
I'm here. Hey.
Hey.
Better than, got the memo.
Better never than late, I always say. Hey, yeah. These guys, they did not get the memo.
They did not get the memo.
Blue jeans, black shirts.
There you go.
We the People Radio apparel.
Yeah.
Soon to hit the stores.
It's the
you.
It's the fastest outfit in town.
Isn't it?
Shirts don't go on as fast as black shirts.
Yeah, black shirts are just amazing. They go with everything. So, wow. Hi, guys. It's been a couple of weeks.
I know. We had a week off last week.
Yeah.
Everybody got to learn about communitarianism again.
Bob was here.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
I was here, but I got to listen to
the show with Kevin?
With Kevin Eggers, yeah.
Where Kevin was your boss?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, Bob, shouldn't we be taking your background?
That was a hoot, because I missed things
really
that I didn't pick up the first time through, because I was busy doing other things, but I got to actually listen to the whole 2 hours.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You're busy pushing buttons.
Yeah.
So you are joining We the People Radio with your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, and pay very close attention to music because it's always tailored exactly to the topic, and half the time it's hilarious. So it kind of makes the topics go down a little bit easier. We are streaming and chatting live at WeThePeopleRadio.us, and today is a very interesting topic. We're talking about chemtrails. It is starting to make headlines. Everywhere I go, everything I look at, I'm starting to read about chemtrails. And the number to call in if you've got comments or questions for today's guest is 530-605-4567. Be sure you check out our webpage. You can follow along. There's a bio on our guest today and links to every show that we've done in the last 2.5 years that you can send out far and wide. So there's no excuse for not passing
on. And if you call us
at
2 minutes to the hour, we're going to ignore you.
Yes.
As per usual. So if you want to dial early. Okay. I actually got my computer up, so I actually have Dane's bio. We actually have Dane in the studio, which is, you know, usually we're going, I think he's calling in. Maybe he's not calling in. Yeah. We've got everybody actually here today.
So Dane, you're everywhere these days.
I'll be
nice. Yesterday on Sovereign Minds Radio.
Who copied us?
Yeah. This is not a job I wanted, but it's one that simply when you know enough about the gravity of it, you can't turn away.
Hard to ignore it.
The hobby volunteer assignment that ate your life. We know about that.
The last decade plus.
Yeah, we've experienced a similar phenomenon. I have a couple things about you, and you can tell us what we missed. But you have an extensive background in solar energy, former employee of Bechtel Power, and was a licensed contractor in California and Arizona. Personal residence was the feature. Did you bring us a picture of that, by the way?
It's online.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I read that yesterday, and I'm like, dang it, why don't I know about that? Personal residence was a feature in a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine called Home Power. He owns a 1,600-acre wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California and focuses efforts and energy on geoengineering. Is it geoengineering, a.k.a. chemtrails? Or do people just call it chemtrails, but geoengineering is a bigger project?
Geoengineering is the scientific term for what people have coined chemtrails.
Okay. I'm never sure how that works.
Yeah. It's one and the same.
Is that like slang, or is one better? Is chemtrail make you kind of tinfoil hat a little bit?
Yeah. If people go online, this is where semantics are important in this case. If people go online and look up chemtrails, they end up in sites that talk about aliens and all sorts of other things. And geoengineering leads to hard science data.
So. Oh, that's better.
Because it uses the word engineering, which
that's the scientific,
belies a more scientific approach.
Scientific term for terraforming our planet. You know, some things should not be messed with, and clearly to try to re-engineer the climate that sustained the planet for as long as it has is insanity of the first order. And that's
okay,
exactly
so what's
what
terraforming?
Terraforming is just a term that implies to alter a planet in a way that was foreign to what it originally was. I mean, they refer to terraforming as a way to make Mars habitable and so forth. But in the case of Earth, we have a habitable planet. And to try to completely alter the climate systems, I think most would agree is
isn't that just pure arrogance?
It is. It is. And if you look at the stated goals going back five-plus decades, we found documents on the NASA archives of the U.S. weather modification programs going back to 66, 80-page documents. It's posted on our website, which is geoengineeringwatch.org.
Thank you very much.
People can go there for data. But those documents we found were 80 pages long, outlining the U.S. weather mod programs going back to 66. And
they knew how to do that back then?
They've been at it, it appears, since the late 40s. And they had budgets even in the 60s and the hundreds of millions of dollars that were publicized on these documents. So this has been going on a long time. And even at the height of the Cold War, which people think we had this division between us and Russia, we have photographs and articles of the Russian weather modification scientists touring the U.S. weather modification facilities even back that far. So there was a lot of collaboration on these programs going back a long way.
I did not know that. So it seems like, because you've been working on this for 10 years, right?
Ten plus. Yeah. And the effects from these, people think that geoengineering or they relate it to cloud seeding, weather modification is a way to make it rain more. But in fact, the saturation of the atmosphere with these particulates diminishes rain. That's something people need to understand. I spoke in front of the California Energy Commission about 2 years ago because they were studying the impact of particulates of unknown origin, which is unusual for the state of California, who tracks everything in the air. And they knew it was costing the state 20% to 40% of its rainfall. So people should understand this is not cloud seeding to make it rain. This is a method, according to the patents and according to the stated science data, it's a method to create artificial cloud cover, which costs rain. It diminishes rain. And if people look back the last 7-plus years, we've been short of rain every year.
Yeah.
And as these storms come in, we see the sky full of these trails. It's a preferred area to spray these particulates. It's called the AR, the atmospheric river. This is a moisture-laden zone that comes in front of storms, and that's, according to the geoengineers, the preferred area to spray. So we see these rainstorms come in. They're always late. The rain's less. And we have deluge here and there, certainly, because when you start to hamper with these weather patterns, you cause drought or deluge. But
yeah, like Thursday night.
So big picture, why do they want to decrease the amount of rain?
Decreasing rainfall is not necessarily the goal, but rather to take rain from one place where they perceive there's an excess, like us in the Pacific Northwest, and to distribute it elsewhere. And this is only one layer of this onion. I mean, there's military strategic purposes. We have documents like Owning the Weather. People can look this up online or find it on our site. It's a military document stating the strategic purpose of controlling the weather, which is fairly obvious. And we do see examples that appear to fit this statement. When Pakistan started to show resistance to U.S. policy, they found their country 20% underwater. Same with Thailand, when the Thai government refused a U.S. base there that they were told was for weather monitoring, and we believe the Thai government knew it was for weather manipulation. They refused that base, and then Thailand found itself under record flooding too. So it's not possible to prove an event was related to these programs, but the dots certainly seem to connect. In the case of the Pacific Northwest, we see blanket spraying in the eastern Pacific. That's off our coasts. We have satellite data and photographs of this, so we're not guessing. That's posted on our site as well. So what that blanket spraying does in the eastern Pacific, it hampers the hydrological cycle. It shuts off the flow of moisture. And now we see water whites being pursued in the Pacific Northwest.
Big time.
So these dots all connect.
Big time water rights problems.
Correct. And there's many layers to the onion, and you have many goals that appear to be trying to be accomplished here. And you have, in the case of the soils, we're seeing a lot of soils that aren't producing now because the aluminum, which is a major component in these programs, is saturating the soil to such a degree that now, in many cases, Monsanto's aluminum-resistant, drought-resistant seeds are the only thing that grows in these soils. So, again, we see disaster capitalism.
And then, of course, we know that President Obama just recently signed into law the protection of Monsanto and all that they do.
We do. We do. We have just seen that. And we also know, in the case of the Obama administration, that his science advisor, John Holdren, is a major advocate of these programs. That can be found on the record. So, again, all these dots connect, and people should start to look up and wonder what happened to the blue sky. We don't see blue sky.
You know, and that's the thing that bothers me almost the most, is that You go through winter, and when spring comes, you are ready for blue sky. You step outside in the morning, the sun is shining, the birds are tweeting, the sky is blue, it's beautiful, it's just what you need, and then here come the planes. And within a couple of hours, no more blue sky. It's ridiculous.
It's all just like, it's just smear.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, if North Korea suddenly has a weather disaster, won't that be a big dot we connect?
Well,
they're due for a weather disaster, aren't they?
And it's certainly the case.
You've been pretty mouthy lately.
Ahmadinejad has been on the floor of the UN twice, referring to these programs as droughting out his country, openly referring to it. Our media doesn't cover it, but certainly,
is it really? I haven't.
He's been on the floor of the UN, and this is online on the record.
He's such a maniac. It's hard to condense down what he's talking about.
He is, but still, these programs appear to be being used in that case now. But you have weather warfare going on. U.S., NATO countries on one end, and you have Russia and China on the other. And again, to use Earth's life support systems as a battlefield is folly of the first order. And so now you have competing powers that appear to be strategically pushing back and forth with not just the aerosol spraying, which is the trails that we see that are making the atmosphere more conductive, but you have HARP. And HARP is something that a lot of people don't know what it is. That acronym is High Altitude Auroral Research Project. There's thought to be at least 18 of these facilities around the globe. And this is a massively powerful radio frequency antenna array that transmits a signal, does not receive, but it sends as much as 2 billion watts into the ionosphere, which heats the ionosphere up to 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit over areas as large as hundreds of square miles. Now, what this does, there's military strategic purposes here, again, at the cost of shredding our atmosphere, but the purpose of HARP, and it's in conjunction with these programs that spray the skies with aerosols, because these metal particulate aerosols make the sky more conductive. This makes the signal from these ionosphere heater facilities more effective. So the strategic stated goal for these facilities, Jesse Ventura covered this on one of his shows, the HARP facility in Alaska, but it beams this massively powerful signal into the ionosphere, which can push the atmosphere up to a couple hundred miles further out into space, and it can actually take out satellites. It can also, in theory, create resistance for an incoming ICBM to stop an incoming missile. But they can also steer the jet stream with these facilities, and they appear to be doing exactly that.
Now, is any of that up for debate?
No.
I mean, is really that stuff like if you went to their website?
They're not going to admit that they're steering the jet stream.
But I mean like that they do these blasts and how much they're shooting out and all that.
They admit to experimentation. There are actually HARP monitoring facilities. People can find this on our website too, because this signal is detectable. So we see that it's actively being used, and we see jet stream movement now that's completely unprecedented. And this is connected to some of the parade of, quote, winter storms that we see going on across the country, where you'll have temperatures, even going back 6-8 weeks, temperatures in Atlanta, Georgia went from 85 degrees to snow in 2 days, and then back up to the 70s 2 days later. We're seeing this all the time. Denver, Colorado right now.
Yeah, it didn't really used to.
No, it never used to be so unpredictable. That's the thing. And the meteorologists, how do they even begin to keep up with it?
Because
they have so little control now.
Well, the weathermen were always kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And now it's worse. And people wondered, why aren't they talking about it? We feel it's certainly a matter of retaining their job. We were told about 6 weeks ago by a mainstream weather meteorologist, a Fox affiliate meteorologist, that they're being pulled into meetings and told not to touch this subject or this issue. This is the biggest elephant in the room. And I've been with USDA scientists who know. I met with NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration scientists,
who just so happens to be deeply involved in people's water rights, way inland.
And
may
I interject?
Yeah, their whole oceanic thing is
correct.
And if I can interject for just a moment, I really appreciate the fact that you're spelling out the acronyms. for people. That's awesome.
People don't know what a lot of these things
mean. Thanks for doing that.
No worries. But
alphabet soup, you know, migraines.
too many acronyms out there.
Before we do that, we better take a quick break before Bob over there has to give me the full body break signal. I don't know what that is. We've never gone that far. I feel it coming, though.
Trust me, you don't want to find out.
I don't want to find out. He's going to whoop up on me. Alrighty, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
I get you up there where the air is rarefied. We'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together.
And we're back, We the People Radio, with our guest today, Dane. Sorry, I'm spitting it out wrong. Did I not tell you about the music?
What?
Did I not tell you about the music?
You did.
How good was that?
We were just playing around. What was that anyway? I know it was Frank Sinatra.
Come fly with me.
Come fly with me.
And we are talking to Dane Wigington. We're talking about chemtrails. And we were, during the break, talking about
the science guy.
To the average,
geoengineering.
To the average listener, what do these look like? What are they seeing when they look up?
Whenever a very visible trail of any length is seen, odds are that is a particulate trail, not a condensation trail. And there's a big difference between the two. People should think about on a very cold day, if their breath condenses, they don't walk a mile down the street and look behind them and see a cloud hanging there. Condensation does not stick around. And on a particulate trail, something like you would see in an air show when you see an aircraft leaving something behind for a specific purpose, that's a particulate trail. And people talk about, well, they've seen such things in World War II behind some of these old bombers and so forth. These were very primitive engines, and they left a lot of particulates. They put out a lot of particulates, unlike modern-day jet engines. So in most cases, we shouldn't see any condensation trail above our airspace, except on the coldest days and except at the highest altitudes, and that would be a very, very short and very short-lived, almost transparent trail. Anything else, again, these bright trails, even if they appear to dissipate, are particulate trails. And if you see the sky, it looks very silvery white after some days when these bright trails appear to dissipate, but the sky becomes more and more silvery and white. This is a hallmark of geoengineering particulates.
Well, and when you see one of these planes flying ahead or overhead and you see the trails, it looks like double trails for one thing. And then they hang in the air. They literally just hang there. And before long, they start to spread.
Yeah, they kind of fluff out. But the thing that always kind of catches my eye is when another aircraft goes through them the other direction. And it's almost like decorations you do on the top of a cake with frosting or something.
Patterns.
It like pulls through it. So you know it's still there. It's a thing that it's going through.
It is. It's a particulate. And again, what's so ludicrous about these programs, when you have administration officials like John Holdren advocating for these programs, you have groups like the AMIG group, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, group of scientists that is calling for immediate wartime-scale geoengineering to be done. You have the patents. We have about 150 patents on these programs. You have documents like the one that was released on January 3rd of this year, a congressional document outlining the global governance of geoengineering. We have so much of this framework, so many of these dots, they all connect, and yet you have agencies and officials denying the existence of what we can clearly see is going on. And for those that doubt their spraying, again, we actually have footage now that was sent to us by people in Italy. It's up close and personal behind a spray plane. While it's in the air, while it's spraying, nozzles are visible. You can see it turning on and off. And there's simply no question. This is not a debate. These programs are going on. There's a mountain of heavy metal falling on us, and that's beyond debate as well. We have hundreds of tests from around the globe. laden with aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, and now recently some researchers were dealing with in Norway and Germany, their last 60 rain tests have been laden with fluoride. They've eliminated all industrial sources, and it simply appears that fluoride is in this mix now, too. Perhaps if we won't drink it in the water, they'll just spray it on us. Now, people wonder, well, how does all this affect them? What's the impact on them? Mm-hmm. Well,
do you eat, breathe, and drink?
Everything they spray up there is coming down on us. There's no question about that. What goes up must come down. And we're not talking about small amounts here. The stated goal by the world's most recognized geoengineers are amounts in the 20 million ton range. We're talking about a massive amount of material. And all this, according to the patents, is aluminum nanoparticles, barium nanoparticles, strontium nanoparticles. And for those that don't know what a nanoparticle is, it's 1/1,000,000th of a meter. And we're talking about particles so small that they can be absorbed through the skin. They enter right through the lung lining into the bloodstream where they adhere to cell receptors like a plaque. And there's a long list of degenerative diseases related to these particulates: Alzheimer's, autism, ALS, dementia. And now we see, as of 2 weeks ago, the most recent stats released say that 1 in 3 seniors now dies with Alzheimer's or dementia, and 1 in 50 children now has autism. That's from 1 in 10,000 several decades ago. And we've seen an escalation in these diseases that is really in direct correlation with the ramp up of these programs. And you know, this metal simply isn't coming from anywhere else, and people tend to think maybe it's coming from China or, you know, some location like that. But CARB, California Air Resources Board, has done studies on the aerosols from China. Metals don't float across oceans, and quite simply, this is a mountain of metal that's of recent origin. We're seeing so much metal fall, it's changing force for pHs to a magnitude of 10 to 12 times toward alkaline. That's a lot of metal. It's killing trees. The trees in the forest can be seen now really suffering, fir trees and so forth. We know the effect of aluminum on their roots. We know the material's there. We know it's in the rain. And there's just simply nowhere else it can be coming from. And we see it in the sky. And as far as how much sun it blocks, this is my background, being in the solar industry. Yeah. And that's what got me onto these programs. I was frankly skeptical at first. And when I moved the Pacific Northwest expecting clean air and then losing 50, 60, 70% of my solar uptake on given days because of whatever these aircraft were emitting, these grid patterns. And on those days, I would see 10 times more aircraft in the air. They're flying lower, mm-hmm. grid patterns, east-west. We know there's no east-west commercial traffic over us here. Mm-hmm. And to block 60 or 70% of the solar uptake is a tremendous amount of material. All of that material is coming down on us. All of it's affecting our own health from inhalation, which inhalation of these particulates, by the way, people worry about aluminum deodorant, aluminum pans. Ingested aluminum is not nearly as lethal as inhaled aluminum. So all this is coming down on us, and because they're nanoparticulates, they're bioavailable. That's a term people should familiarize themselves with. It means they're so small they're absorbed by everything. And that means all plant life is absorbing it now. And in fact, these same German and Norwegian researchers I mentioned earlier are now determining that they're seeing what they call horizontal gene mutation in all plant life. In essence, there is no organic anything at this point because of these particulates saturating virtually everything. And then we consume that, of course. And now there's an aspect called synergistic toxicity, which means each of these metals alone are lethal. When you mix them together, they're much worse. And in the case of aluminum and mercury, for example, we know we have mercury in vaccines. We know we all have a certain amount of mercury exposure from the utilization of hydrocarbon fuels. And the tests we were given show that when enough mercury to kill 1 in 100 rats is combined with enough aluminum to kill 1 in 100 rats, all the rats die. Toxicity is increased by 10,000%. We're not talking about small amounts here. And we're seeing that. Respiratory mortality in the continental U.S. also from 2005 to 2010 went from 8th on the list of mortality to 3rd. We're hearing now that it might have moved into 1st or 2nd, and the CDC is trying to hide this. So there's a lot going on. This elephant in the room is beyond belief in size and scope, and people simply need to look up and start doing some research on this, because this is not just an environmental issue. This is not just one more issue to add to the pile. Quite simply, if you can't walk out your door and breathe without sucking in a lung full of heavy metal, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. So how is this affecting the food sources?
First, it's sterilizing soils, and we are hearing about this from many who garden. They're having trouble growing things, and this would be expected. When you kill the soil microbes, and that's what these metals do, not just soil microbes. In fact, there's microbes in the upper atmosphere that are thought to now be responsible for as much as 80% of the rainfall. We have no idea what it's doing to those microbes, but the soil microbes certainly appear to be being affected horrifically, and we know bioavailable aluminum affects plant organisms, many if not most organisms. When they detect this toxin, they shut down nutrient uptake to protect their DNA. This is where Monsanto comes in. They've engineered around that DNA so that plants don't have a defense mechanism, and they just continue to absorb this stuff, and we eat it, and their DNA is modified. So, you know, this is Monsanto disaster capitalism on top of soils that are sterilized already. But people are certainly noticing they're having trouble growing things. And also, an important aspect of geoengineering, when you fill the atmosphere with particulates, and that's exactly what's going on, you shred ozone. The science on this is very clear. I don't want anybody to believe anything I'm saying. I want people to investigate on their own. They can look this up. But now we have massive northern hemisphere ozone holes developing, and this is not the southern hemisphere hole people have heard about. This is new. They're trying desperately to hide it. They're threatening to fire Canadian scientists if they speak to that are on the research teams, if they speak to media. So this is causing people to have to shade their tomatoes, so forth, and other plants. It's burning the bark off of trees. If people drive through Costco, Walmart parking lots, look at the trees. It's burning the bark off of trees from bottom to top. When that sun feels intense on your face, it's not your imagination.
See, all of this, unfortunately, is not your imagination. So we have a lot of questions. We're going to come right back, but somebody here in the chat room asked, why isn't the Air Quality Board looking at this? Why are we myopically focused on carbon? Which is just such a great question.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Air Quality Board, so we'll take 2 minutes to compose ourselves before we actually discuss the Air Quality Board and open mic. You do the same out there. Are we pushing the button? We are pushing the button. This is We the People Radio. We're talking about geoengineering with Dane Wigington here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight.
They say that there's a hole in the atmosphere. The things you think will last just disappear. Somebody lowered the boom on you. Now you need a sympathetic ear.
Hitting another one out of the ballpark with Bob Martin. You're listening to We the People Radio. We are talking to Dane Wigington, geoengineering, a.k.a. chemtrails.
Needed the silver wings back again. That was a good one.
That was awesome.
That could be your theme song.
It could be. That's just what we need.
What we need is a theme song.
We need to get him on the show one of these days, seriously.
Merle?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Dane's already here.
I think he talked with Art Bell for 5 hours on subjects like this one time.
Really?
Back in the 90s, yeah. Yeah, he's a...
I did not know that.
He's a fountain of knowledge.
He's definitely spoken on this issue. We know that for a fact. But I think, as I mentioned off air, I think that he has felt threatened about his speaking out on this issue before, but...
Speaking out on stuff like this is super unpopular. So what have you experienced, by the way?
Funny you should ask, the last time I spoke to the Tea Party, about 2+ years ago, on the way home that night, 9:30 or 9:45 at night, I got a call from a federal EPA employee that clearly knew where I was, and I exchanged emails with before, and he seemed... very bent out of shape that I was still addressing this issue, and that's incredibly alarming that they have nothing else to do but to badger us that over something like this that clearly any sane person would try to address.
So tomorrow night when you're at the Renning Tea Party at 6 o'clock at Bonneville, what is it, Destiny Fellowship Church,
2570 South Bonneville Road. Do you know I've been calling in?
This just in, EPA.
It's, you know,
I've got that damn pat.
This whole situation seems completely sci-fi, and
it is very sci-fi. That's the bad part.
I would have never imagined myself having to address such an issue. It's the last thing I would ever want or wanted, and I'm not political in any sense, but I simply, after a decade of research, I mean, you can't not try to bring this to light when you know the consequences and the ramifications. And people wonder, if this is so bad, if this is really going on, if all this metal is really falling on us, where are the agencies that are supposed to report this? Mm-hmm. And here's what I would say to that. Now, I've been down that road. I've been in Barbara Boxer's office, and what a completely futile effort that was. I could have pounded
my
head.
That's a really nice thing to say.
Yeah, I could have pounded my head on the wall outside and done better. I was in a high-level EPA meeting in Sacramento arranged by a congressional rep with five top EPA people who told me, closed-door meeting, that in so many words, the system is rigged, that they are mandated to test for combustion particulates only. The rest of the sample goes out the window. You can't find what you're not looking for. Now, in addition to them not looking for these elements, there's also the matter of the size of these elements. Again, they test for PM10, which is 10 micron, and in some cases 2.5 micron. These particles are exponentially larger than the geoengineering particulates that are being sprayed. So simply, these smaller particulates don't show up anywhere without special testing. So all of this goes under the radar, even though the sheer quantity of metal we're talking about is very lethal, but all this goes under the radar. And then you have CARB, California Air Resources Board, scapegoating farmers. And I've spoken in front of the CARB board some months back with a room full of farmers who, this year, the legislation, I think, is still being worked on to penalize these farmers, force them to buy new equipment, which they cannot afford, that would reduce the particulate matter being put out by their equipment, while at the same time, CARB is completely turning two blind eyes to a mountain of metal raining down on us from these programs, which are unregulated. And they admitted that in the meeting I was in, that they simply are not mandated to even examine these programs. So this is...
Well, you can... I was really surprised to find out, actually, and this was a few years ago, maybe it was because you came and told us about this, but that you could modify the weather if you had a plane, knew how to fly it, mm-hmm. had some stuff you wanted to put out, and you had this theory about modifying the weather. There's no permit required.
There's no regulation at all. I mean, this is absolutely ludicrous.
I mean, and for people who are being just regulated to death, talk about, there should be some sort of, well, terraforming in this case would be all the forms you fill out to do anything while your feet are on the ground. But apparently if you can get up in the sky, you know, sky's the limit, as they say.
It is, and that's exactly what we have. And for those that believe that this is all outlandish, these programs aren't going on, again, they should look up. There's 150 more or less published weather modification programs in the U.S. every year. We know PG&E is doing their mm-hmm. thing, and we hear about this. And this goes back to Vietnam. Project Popeye in the 60s was so successful at modifying weather of the Ho Chi Minh Trail that in 76, the U.N. banned weather modification in wartime. But as you just said, Aaron, correctly so, that although you can't use it in war, you can use it over your own population. And that's how ludicrous this is, and that's exactly what's going on. So there are people being penalized, like the farmers, to reduce their particulate emissions on their equipment when there's a mountain of metal raining down on us that's completely unregulated. And people also wonder, well, if this is going on and altering the weather so much, why aren't the weather agencies speaking out? We know that the foxes are literally running the hen house in this case. We have the same military industrial contractors that are up to their eyeballs in these programs and that own patents. Like Raytheon, for example, does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service and NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So you have this defense contractor that's doing the weather modification, literally giving the modeling to these weather forecasting agencies. In the case of the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, you have Lockheed Martin doing their modeling, another weather modification contractor. So you have this whole apparatus that's been put together by the same people that run these programs. In the case of Weather Central and Weather Channel, ultimately leads back to Rothschild ownership. So this is a very elaborate web, and people wonder, how could this be going on? Why have we not heard about this? Why isn't mainstream media covering it? we know now what mainstream media is. I mean, it's sure. a corporate-run five major entities that are controlled by the ultimately the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the case of the military that's involved in these programs, we believe certainly our military brothers and sisters and fathers and would not engage in such a thing that would contaminate their own fellow countrymen. But we believe that there's so much compartmentalization going on that they simply are being told they're doing some benevolent act for the common good. Mm-hmm. We have the same thing with depleted uranium that was used on our own troops. Agent Orange used on our own troops. Our own Air Force basically poisoning our own troops. And clearly those pilots didn't realize what they were doing to their own fellow countrymen, yes. So we have the same thing here. And I spoke to a KC-135 pilot who had no idea what he was doing up there flying around. And when he began to ask questions, he found himself medicated behind a desk. So you know, this is the sort of thing you see.
Well, and so do you have people coming forward to talk about that they are the pilots? That always seems like the missing piece of the puzzle.
And sort of marry a question with that one. I know a retired engineer from Lockheed. So if I were to ask him this question, do you think he would know what he was working on when he was there?
What he knows and what he says may be two different things.
Okay.
So many are either conditioned to believe that these are, in fact, programs for the common good and that they're not supposed to talk about them, which is a bit of a contradiction in itself, I think. But many simply refuse to accept that what they've spent their life working on is something very nefarious and very destructive. So I don't know that you would get an answer from him. Mm-hmm. As far as pilots go, there's reports of a couple that have tried to come forward and been silenced since. We do have a 12-year Air Force veteran, industrial hygienist. Industrial hygienist, their job is to test for these environmental toxins. And she has seen the metal canisters that are used for the spraying. She's speaking on the record. We have an interview with her. We have not released yet.
Oh, cool.
So we do have someone from the inside that has spoken out. I've been contacted in the last 2 months by four scientists from major universities, two of which are involved with these programs that are now, I've been told by one that because of the data that's now being put out, that a lot of these researchers in these universities are realizing what they're participating in, realizing the ramifications, and are now refusing to participate. And that's what we want to have happen.
So someone asked in the chat room, well, what does he want out of all this? I kind of thought it was obvious, but go ahead.
Yeah, I did too.
What I want is to raise awareness. And I think if we could bring this to the light of day, the rest would largely fall into place on its own. That the vast majority of those participating in these programs, if they knew that they were poisoning their own posterity, the futures of their own children, that they would refuse to participate. One would hope that is the case. Meeting this head on is futile. The legal system or the political system is completely rigged. Mm-hmm. We know the agencies are rigged. So quite simply, if this was out in the light of day, and
well, you know what, it gets back to we the people.
There you go.
Well, everything circles back to that.
And for the people who don't think it's rigged, I guess I always kind of remember that we need to keep in mind that we've got to answer the invisible skeptics out there. But for the people who don't think it's rigged, let's see. I haven't read the article, but it just reminded me. There's an editorial today in the Reading paper anyway, where it says sooner or later climate dams are going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing with the Klamath dams, four perfectly good hydropowered dams.
Clean energy,
water storage. Renewable. That we so desperately need in California. And yet, Department of the Interior,
so Bureau
of Reclamation says, no, science says they've got to take them out. Oh, wait, except for the fact that their scientific integrity officer that they brought in, who
blew
was
the whistle on
eminently
them.
Qualified, mm-hmm. said, on a scale of like 1 to 10, that's like the last option. That's like option 10. We don't want that option.
So it makes no sense.
And they fired him.
And it makes no sense to get rid of clean, renewable energy that they tout that they need.
Well,
they say that's what we're working toward, and then you get rid of the exact source.
Yeah, because we're going to save fish. Only
for
this
fish.
Doesn't save fish. There's just a million things you could do to save fish.
Well, there's going to be a lot of toxic sludge generated by removing.
You're going to get rid of the hatchery mm-hmm. that puts a ton of fish in the system. I mean, the whole thing
it'll destroy.
I mean, there's nothing as more on the ground. Mm-hmm. Go look at the science rigged as that one process.
Yeah.
If you really want to.
Yeah.
This brings up the subject of environmentalists in this issue, which is an extremely negative aspect of this whole equation. So they're focused on these dams and the ramifications from this, and they turned a complete blind eye to the issue of geoengineering, which is poisoning everything, including the waterways. In fact, according to 35-year U.S. Forest Service biologists from Mount Shasta, Francis Mangles, who's monitored aquatic insect life in the streams and the tributaries for three decades plus, he's seeing in some cases a 90% decline in aquatic insect life that he relates directly to the contamination from these programs. So again, where are the environmentalists? They don't seem to want to address this issue. They want to stay in their little comfort zones and
talk about climate change because that's all about control.
Exactly.
You know, move us out of our rural areas, move us into the city, you know, all that kind of, all the policy that goes with. And you look at this effect, this tags on to everything. We're going to talk about forests.
I think there are two kinds of environmentalists. I think there are some that simply are well-intentioned but lack information, and I think there are others that are complete phonies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that have a huge agenda mm-hmm. and lots of power.
That really could care less about the environment.
Nefarious
yeah,
and evil.
Absolutely.
And nefarious and evil. And nefarious and evil. Okay, so we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Dane Wigington. We're talking about geoengineering this morning here at KCNR 1460 AM. I feel a really good song coming on. I remember this one. This is Community Radio for the North State. Jets.
We're back with Dane Wigington, Geoengineering, Chemtrails, We the People Radio. Hey, so Dane.
He's blinding me with science. I already admitted it.
So we have come full circle on who's behind all of this. So let's talk about culpability on the part of the environmentalists and the media.
There should be a massive responsibility placed on both of those entities. One, the media marginalizing this is absolutely criminal. And I would ask those in the media, why in the hell would we not believe this is going on when every single dot connects? Without any debate, there's a mountain of toxic metal falling on us, period. There's no other known source. You have, again, Obama science advisors like John Holdren advocating these programs. We have scientists calling for these programs to be carried out immediately. We see the solar obscuration happening. We have global dimming, which is the express goal of geoengineering, to block the sun. We have global dimming now at 22%. People should look up that term. That means 22% of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet. Again, this is an express goal of geoengineering.
Why?
Because this is the stated purpose on geoengineering patents is to block a percentage of the sun to slow runaway climate change. The paradox is that although these programs can and do cool huge areas to a very large degree at times, it comes at the cost of a worsened overall warming. You don't get something for nothing in nature. So yes, you can block the sun. Yes, you can cool down daytime highs. But those same reflective metal particulates also trap radiant heat. And NASA has admitted that these, what they call persistent contrails, which we absolutely know to be particulate trails from these programs, are actually worsening climate change. So it's cutting off one's nose to spite one's face. It hides the problem temporarily at the cost of making it much worse overall. But when you have documents, for example, released January 3rd of this year, a congressional document outlining the global governance of geoengineering programs, media should be all over this stuff. But mm-hmm. what do they do?
But see, you know, that would require that they do some serious research.
No, it's much easier to heckle from the sidelines. But once the public realizes that they've all been the subject of a massive lethal experiment, and the media has done everything they can to help hide that, I think they should be held responsible. They absolutely should, as should the environmental groups that are causing problems with the hydro dams and so forth that you guys have mentioned, and focusing on some little issue that's comparable to sweeping the sidewalk or mowing the lawn while the house is burning down. And they simply stay in their little comfort zones and ignore the
Well, we talked about
issues.
The two types of environmentalists, the ones that really aren't and have an agenda, and the ones that think they are and are really into pat myself on the back, feel good belief systems.
I completely agree. That's what we have here. I mean, this issue encompasses everything. If it's not dealt with based on all available data, we believe that we'll soon have little to care about, because these particulates are bioavailable. We see the fallout of this showing up everywhere with the Alzheimer's, the autism, the
sure.
ALS, so forth, the sterilized soils. Every single known consequence of geoengineering is showing up, and yet the media still does their best to spin this, to shroud it from public view.
Yes, because in today's editorial, I'll just read one sentence. We, the people in the North State, we sound like terrified country rubes jumping at shadows and mapping out chemtrails.
Well, see, there
it's
again.
It's like, there you go, you know, marginalize and minimize and make fun of.
Do they even mention the word geoengineering in the whole article?
No.
See, because that would lead people to hard science, and they don't want that. And the last time the Searchlight did any issue on this, I specifically instructed them that that was the term that needed to be used, and they specifically did everything they could not
about,
to use that term.
They're not about the numbers. It's like when we have a Tea Party meeting that brings out, you know, 400 people. They pan the room with their cameras after everybody leaves, and they never quite mention the numbers that were there, ever.
No, or the newspaper doesn't write about the program. Like tomorrow night, that'll be fun. We'll see if they write about the program or if they wait to cherry-pick something out of it so they can spin it and throw somebody under the bus.
Great.
Oh, hey, are we done for the hour?
Top the hour break.
That would explain the music, wouldn't it?
How
random, Bob. All right, we're coming back with geoengineering. We're talking to Dane Wigington this morning here at We the People. Here, hit it, Bob.
Here at Community Talk Radio for the North State. Hour number two of We the People. Straight ahead. Here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Hope you refill the coffee cup and you're sitting down for another great hour of We the People Radio. We're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. Got a great topic today. We're talking with Dane Wigington, chemical trails, otherwise known as geoengineering. And look up at the sky every day when you think you ought to have blue, and watch the planes flying overhead. Watch the trails behind them. Watch the fact that they never go away, and actually they broaden over a couple of hours' time to cover the entire sky.
Yep. And the website is geoengineeringwatch.org.
And our number is 530-605-4567.
And we did have a caller in the, 30 seconds to the top of the hour that we didn't put on the air because we didn't have time. But for those of you who live in the Reading area, he wanted folks to know that, let's see, in the newspaper, there is an editorial by Silas Lyons here in the Record Searchlight. Fear puts up a sign, stay out. That's the online name, and the not online name. Hold on here. I'm having a little spaz attack here on the chat room. Here we go. It was part of Sally Raposa's I'm Not Ready for the Drones article. Home to Drones is what she called it. And in there, that's where he basically, you know, says we're all a bunch of loons because we are talking about chemtrails. Interestingly enough, as Mr. Wigington pointed out in the last hour, the media likes to use the word chemtrails because that sends you into a realm of, I don't know, conspiracy and away from science. Bottom line, away from science. So if you were to search geoengineering, you would find the scientific stuff. So if you'd like to comment on that, Mr. Lyons will be on the air here in this station tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning on Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Between 8 and 9-ish? 7 and 8-ish?
I'm not sure which hour. I'm
we'll guessing, listen to the whole thing.
You know what? I'll verify that. I think it's the 8 o'clock hour.
Okay.
But listen between 7 and 9.
So in case you'd like to weigh in with our local media here and ask them why, pretty much with the information you've discovered here and by going to geoengineeringwatch.org and doing a little homework, you'll have some good questions for him tomorrow. Dane, back to you.
This, again, the media has really behaved criminally toward this issue in their willful attempt to marginalize it and obscure this issue, which is hard science. And if people do look up geoengineering, or they can look up stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, known as SRM, SAG, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering is SAG, solar radiation management, SRM. If they simply look up global governance of geoengineering, anything on these topics, they'll find a mountain of data. They'll find global governance documents. They'll find every single science agency out there discussing geoengineering, none admitting it's going on, of course. And the only plausible denial that for these programs is the simple blanket statement that our government says they're not doing this. Well, what sort of denial is that when we have film of the plane spraying, which we will show tomorrow night at the Tea Party? We have footage sent to us from Europe up close behind a spray jet dumping its payload. We have, again, publications from every major scientific entity out there discussing this issue. We have global governance documents. We have a mountain of metal raining down on us. We have a shredded ozone layer. We have toxified soils and waters. We have degenerative diseases directly related to these particulates going off the charts. There is no credible or plausible denial of these programs except the media's attempt to spin them. So, again, if people investigate this issue, if they investigate the science, if they investigate geoengineering itself, they'll find a mountain of data to back this up. This isn't a job I wanted again, and I simply, after years of hard research, I can't look my kids in the eye and not address this issue. I can't. Sure. I want them to have a future. Fertility rates are declining. You have, again...
And all those things, all the effects are being publicly discussed and to say media, just to limit it to that, is actually not accurate. But those things are all being publicly discussed. It's just sometimes the cause isn't being...
It's ludicrous.
And there are many causes for many things. I mean, this isn't the only thing happening in the universe. However, it's a big factor that's missing.
It's by far the biggest. And
from
that's
everything you have.
That's what's so ludicrous, like autism. They can't figure out why these radical escalations in autism. They just can't figure it out. They can't figure out where all the aluminum's coming from in people's brains. They can't figure that one out. NOAA, again, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, published 2 years ago, the atmosphere is now full of particulates, and we can't figure out where they're coming from. I mean, all this is so incredibly ridiculous. While this elephant dances around the room, it's insane, and we're losing solar uptake. Again, why did all the NATO countries suddenly stop their renewable energy programs? They basically cut off all their solar programs because they're paying to fill the sky with particulates that block the sun. It doesn't make sense to pay billions of dollars to block the sun and then build solar plants, does it? I mean, again, all these programs fit together. Where are the environmentalists on that issue? Where are they? Why aren't they discussing this?
So we have a skeptic online here on our chat room. And for those of you that haven't been there, wethepeopleradio.us, you can jump in on the chat there. But okay, so we have it's a themed series of questions, okay? So the theme is, where can we find Mr. Wigington's bio about his wildlife preserve? And it says, just trying to get knowledgeable. And then there are other questions, you know, were you an environmentalist before? Personal skepticism, apparently.
First, I would ask, what does that have to do with anything here? It has nothing to do with it.
Sounds so much better when you say it.
And do I care about the environment? Yes, I care about the environment. No environment, no people. That's pretty simple. But I don't look at it in the way that the vast majority of environmentalists do, that focusing on some species here or there while they ignore programs that are virtually pushing the planet over the edge. And to put a little light on that, the species extinction rate today, based on the latest figures, we are in the sixth great mass extinction on planet Earth. And this is not my conclusion. This is the conclusion of 9 out of 10 biologists interviewed. We're in the sixth great mass extinction. We're losing species at some 200 a day. That's hard to get your arms around. That's 10,000 times natural variability. That's not normal. And again,
and it can't all be farmers and ranchers.
It's not.
Who've been doing the same thing for 200 years.
It's not. It's like the colony collapse disorder with the bees, and they try to pin that on some pesticide here or there. Well, then why are the bees dying hundreds of miles from any farm just as fast as they're dying on the farms? There is a much bigger issue here. And again, these toxins are showing up everywhere. They tested 1,000 whales from the most remote places around the globe. They were full of aluminum. How can that be? Because our skies are completely buried in this material. And again, there's hard science to back this up. Those who want to heckle from the sidelines have simply done no investigation. They have preconceptions that they can't seem to get around. But the bottom line is there's so much damage being done to the atmosphere, the climate, the environment right now from these programs that I don't think they can hide this much longer, frankly. I really don't. And perhaps it's connected somehow to the ordering of one and a half billion bullets, whatever they ordered. Once the population as a whole realizes that they have been subjected to this grand experiment, this is Corexit for planet Earth, by the way. That's a good example, as we saw they used in the Gulf. They weren't concerned about the environment. They weren't concerned about the people who live there. They were only concerned about hiding the issue. That's
exactly
all. And so this is Corexit for planet Earth. We know this is business as usual. Don't try to fix the problem. Just do your best to hide it. So the more they've engaged in these programs, the more damage they've done. And now it appears the more spraying they're doing in the attempt to try to hide these programs. So, again, there's no question these programs are going on. There's a mountain of metal falling on us. We have, from this area alone, we have some 60 lab tests at the state-certified lab. There's a mountain of metal falling on us. Agencies are simply refusing to address it. We see the health statistics verifying that we're all being exposed to this stuff. People need to wake up.
Okay, and we've got a caller on the line, Alice.
Who did a very good job, Alice, calling
good morning.
45 minutes before the end of the show. Good one.
Okay. Yes, I'm having a lot of the symptoms of not being able to breathe, high blood pressure, apparently damage to my heart, but I'm a perfectly healthy person, and so this has come on me rather quickly. I want to do the lab tests on my blood, but I know I cannot get them normally, so will you give me the name of the labs that I can go to? I know I'll have to pay for it, to determine this nano involvement in my system.
You need to see a holistic practitioner that can help you chelate. It's important when you are...
No, I don't. I want to know the lab. They don't know it, the holistic people. They don't. I mean, I need to know because I understand about chelating and all of that, but what I need to know, I want to establish that it's in my blood system first.
I understand, but you do need... Chelation is important before you take your blood test because these particulates adhere to various cells in the body and they don't continue to migrate around in the blood, and you need to free them up so that you can see exactly what is in your system. And it is important to have a little guidance with that. There's a practitioner in town, I think she's still here, her name is Alicia Mitchell. She's very up to speed on this.
Lisa Mitchell.
Alicia Mitchell. And she's a chiropractic, holistic care person that can write the protocol for getting this done. And there's other people online you can find, too. I know there's people in town that do this. And there is a procedure. If you just walk in and have your blood tested for these metals, you're not necessarily going to see true results because, again, these metals are like a plaque. They adhere to cell receptors. So there's a bit of a process that is important to testing this. But there is absolutely, positively, no question that we are all breathing this stuff in. It's in the air. We've done dust tests. In that regard, we've done, again, in the precipitation, people think, or they try to claim, that aluminum should be in the rain, that because aluminum is 8% of the Earth's crust, that it should be blowing around in the rain. That's absolutely ludicrous. Aluminum does not exist in the environment in free form, period. It is always bonded to other elements. Unless it's been mined and refined and dumped in the air, it does not exist in free form. So, quite simply, the claim people make that this should be expected to be in our air, our water, our snow is ridiculous. And we had tests off the side of Mount Shasta, for example, what was thought to be a pristine water source. Snow test off the side of Mount Shasta was 61,000 parts per billion of aluminum. It's literally toxic snow. And again, there's no debate.
So if people were going to go test for this, like she's asking, like Alice is asking about, if they were going to go test, what would they? I mean, okay, let's say they called a naturopath or someone who would be looking at a wider array of things than traditional medicine. What would they ask for?
They would ask to have a blood test for specific metal elements. I mean, you have to name the elements you're looking to test for.
And what are the aluminum?
Aluminum, barium, strontium, and you know the gals at Orchard Nutrition, there's some very qualified people there that have the connections locally for who would be able to conduct these tests. Again, Alicia Mitchell is one, but the gals at Orchard Nutrition, I think, could give some good guidance there. And there are people in town that do this, but there is a protocol, there is a way to do this properly to get really credible results. So,
I've had my specialist say I want to get these blood panels, but they don't know. But when we're talking about these nano things, it's a whole different realm, and I've got to tell them what I want. I will go to this lady, but I have to do the homework and say, here's the test I want done. And so forth. But
talk
I will go to her first.
Talk to Kara or Kimberly, also at Orchard Nutrition. I think they know some people locally who do this, and they're a good group down there. They know this is going on as well. They're trying to help people with chelation. That's a good place to go to get some protocol on what to do to keep chelating these metals out of our systems. But there's absolutely no question we're being exposed to these toxins. We see them in virtually every test, every rain test. I mean, it's coming down in very copious amounts.
And Dane, real quickly before we go to a break, what does the health food store look like, no matter where you live, that might be knowledgeable about this? Because a lot of our listeners are not in this area. What should they be looking for, expertise-wise, in their health food stores to talk to somebody?
Well, they typically have qualified nutritionists there. I mean, and these people have pretty extensive backgrounds. Like I know Kara at Orchard Nutrition has a very extensive background in holistic medicine. So they have some qualified people there, Orchard specifically. And again, things can be found online as well as far as these tests. And you can mail in a blood test. There are actually kits you can, organizations that can pull your blood. You can have your blood pulled locally, and it's sent to specific organizations that are set up.
Where
for
do
this
I find? Where do I find the list of the people that you can mail in the blood test?
I think if you simply Google that, you'll find a number of them. If you look up blood heavy metal testing, I think you'll find a significant amount of those. Yeah. If you can't find anything, you can contact us at geoengineeringwatch.org, and we will set you up with people that can definitely tell you what to do.
Do you have a telephone number? I don't have a computer.
The best way is to reach us through Geoengineering Watch, because that will connect you right to other people that do this. And if you can write down that labs or that website, geoengineeringwatch.com.
I do have that, but I don't have a computer. Is there a way
You can
use a computer at the public library.
If you want to call into the station, I'll pass the number on to the station.
Alice, hang on two seconds, and Dane will talk to you on the break. We need to take a quick quick break. Thank our advertisers here. You are listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Did you just make up his name?
We're talking about
totally pissing Elizabeth off today.
Yeah, I can't get a word out.
Sorry.
We're talking about chemtrails and geoengineering, and you know, it all circles back to what so many things circle back to, and that is a little bit of power and control at the top. But we're going to talk about trees in the forests and how this has affected the local economies and the local the forest industry, and the thing that you mentioned earlier that I never thought about was having these particulates in the air makes the air more
conductive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that sort of explains a lot of lightning strikes.
It does, and I actually did lightning suppression work for Bechtel Power, and I have a bit of a background there, and there's components of this people need to understand when we see the forest burning down around us. Going back to 2008, when we saw the unprecedented amount of dry lightning strikes, there was, I think, 8,000 plus. Is it just coincidence that during that week that the NASA had a mobile DC-8 lab flying over California monitoring, quote-unquote, testing? Is that a coincidence? And, again, with these programs, the overall effect, they diminish and disperse rain. That's why we have, in spite of all this Weather Channel hoopla, like we're having this huge winter and all this precipitation, then why is the U.S. locked in protracted drought? People should look this up, the U.S. Drought Monitor. These farms are literally starving to death. There's not the massive amount of precipitation falling that the Weather Channel would like us to believe. So we have programs that are known scientifically to diminish and disperse rain. That's exactly what we see occurring. Now we have excessive lightning, because when you saturate the atmosphere with metal particulates, you increase atmospheric conductivity. So in relation to the fires, now you have, again, the bioavailable metals that are causing the trees to shut down, nutrient uptake, and yes, you have beetles in the limbs and so forth. You have excessive fuels underneath, but you still have this huge factor of a tree that's being droughted out, that's being exposed to bioavailable aluminum, and that is a larger cause to the tree mortality in the forest. Now you add a incendiary dust, which these metals are incendiary, so you coat the foliage with that, and now you add a whole bunch of dry lightning, and you have a recipe for complete forest burn down. Now, people don't understand how much forest is burning. You had forest fires in Australia and Tasmania this last summer that were completely unprecedented. They were evacuating people from the beaches in Tasmania. This is absolutely unheard of. You had Australia reaching temperatures of 130 degrees. Now, these programs, again, are worsening the climate situation overall. We know that. So you have forest fires burning all over Australia. This our previous summer in the northern hemisphere, Siberia lost 100 million acres to forest fire. That's hard to get your arms around. And we lost 10 or 11 million in the continental U.S. So, again, the decimation from these programs, the shredding of the ozone, which is also making the forest more tender, and also these particulates in the atmosphere, they're desiccants, which means they dry the air out. That's why we hardly ever see dew anymore in the morning. People don't notice things like this. You don't see dew very often because these particulates accrete all the available moisture in the atmosphere, and that's why it dries out so quickly.
And I didn't think about it when you told me that before, but our sprinkler system, I don't even know what it's set for, but it's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. You never used to be able to water your lawn like that. I mean, if you watered your lawn in the dark, you were going to have mushrooms. You know, it just didn't happen because there was too much moisture in the morning on your, you know, on your yard.
Yeah, from the dew.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
People don't notice things like
start
this.
Start thinking
again,
about the things you've had to make changes in from...
Sure.
And when these, when
10,
the, when
20
the,
years ago.
When the, you know, preceding storms now, again, you have these sometimes 1 or 2 days of this huge featureless sky that looks very different from historical norms where all the clouds appear melted together. And that's, these particulates have that effect.
You know what it is? It's like gauze.
Yeah.
It's gauzy.
Yeah.
It's like somebody took cheesecloth and laid it over the sky. I mean, real clouds don't look like that.
On
a consistent basis.
They don't. And again, there's no absolutes here. People shouldn't think, well, if they don't see horizon to horizon trails, there's no spraying going on. That's not true. Now, if the sky looks silvery white, you have aerosols in the air, period. Or when storm fronts come through, maybe you see natural cumulus clouds lower down, but above that you see this overstory of white with trails mixed in. That is absolutely aerosol operations going on, period. And we post this. People should look at satellite data imagery. We have this on geoengineeringwatch.org where you can clearly see the blanket spraying, the trails off the west coast of the U.S., which is the eastern Pacific. We know it's affecting the hydrological cycle. There's a website called Strange Days, Strange Skies. Great photo site. And clearly, if this is commercial traffic, then why are they doing loops? Why are they making X's?
Yeah.
Why are there 10 times?
Are they lost?
It's you know,
yeah, ruh-roh, go back.
Yeah, this is absolute insanity that these programs are still being hidden, but people are finding out.
Just for, you know, those of us that are, you know, dopey non-science people, that would be me. I'd be the leader of the pack there. If they're cloud seeding, like, I don't really know about, I mean, we throw that term around, but I think most people haven't got a clue what it looks like. What does it look like? Like, if they flew over and if today was cloud seeding day and some planes went over, would you see it? Is that something you see?
No, I mean, if they're above the clouds, you're not going to see anything going on. And again, there's a lot of aerosol activity going on above the clouds when there's a canopy overhead.
And is aerosol, what, like when you're a cloud seeder, is that an aerosol thing?
An aerosol, many people don't know what that term is. I should clarify that. An aerosol is an ultra-fine particulate suspended in the atmosphere. So people relate this to the aerosol spray cans or so forth, but that's simply a term that describes a particulate in the atmosphere. And we now believe that because these programs have been going on for 60-plus years, they blame the Southern Hemisphere ozone hole on aerosol spray cans, right, CFCs. And we believe it's much more likely these programs were going on over Antarctica that far back, and it's much more likely that an aircraft dispersing tens of millions of tons of material or multiple aircraft is a much more likely cause of such atmospheric damage than spray cans. So, again, we see a lot of red herrings. It's like blaming the farmers for their particulate matter. It's hard to find truth in this equation in regard to what's been blamed on what. But clearly, if people look into this issue, they'll find an absolute mountain of data to corroborate these programs are going on.
And there's the problem. They don't want to.
Yeah,
you know, there's the problem again with our media, and that's the thing that just sits in my craw, that they could even presume to judge what you've done when you've been at this for 10 years. And there's no way that they've got the ability or the time to go 10 years to get the data that you've got.
I've tried to bring this data to the Searchlight. I've tried to bring science articles from Scientific American, New Scientist. They won't look at any of that because it's much easier to try to marginalize this issue with terms that don't even belong, like chemtrails, and they won't acknowledge the scientific term for this. So, but again, I think the damage being done from these programs, the disruption to the weather systems, the toxification of the ground, the human health issue, is reaching such critical proportions that I don't think they can hide these programs much longer. And once it's out in the open, I think people like those at the Searchlight who are trying to marginalize this issue are going to have a lot to answer for.
Hey, and real quickly, we've got John on the line. Good morning, John.
But we got to take a break.
Oh, we do?
First.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll be
hang in there another minute, John.
All righty. We will be right back. Got a question coming from John. If you're going to call us, do it. 605-4567. We're talking about Geoengineering Watch with Dane Wigington here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Long as I remember rain been coming down, clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Goodness truly ages, trying to find the sun. And I wonder, who'll stop the rain?
Okay, had to be quick.
Because that hurts my ears.
Stop.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's Devil Driver.
Devil Driver.
The line was, today I swore I wouldn't mourn you, clouds over California.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
That's what they said.
Okay.
Wow.
We're back. We the People Radio with Dane Wigington.
That's
talking about geoengineering. And you know what? We were just talking about all the weird things that we've noticed over the last many years, things that should be a given, things that should be normal that are no longer. And I think there's a way for people to get the word out in a palatable way. So every time we see something odd, we need to get on our social media and just kind of put it out there. You know, social media, email, everything. Oops, sorry about John. We have a way of spreading the word. But let's talk about little things that we notice in not so much the big picture, but in a more micro way that people can swallow, if you know what I mean. I mean, just if you see something weird, for instance, it's snowing and it's 50 degrees, put it out there for everybody. Say, hey, folks, have you noticed that it's snowing and it's 50 degrees? What's that about?
And again, this is something people should look up. That sounds preposterous, but it's absolutely happening. Mm-hmm. We have the patents for it. It's called artificial ice nucleation for weather modification. Artificial ice nucleation for weather modification. Even NASA has a patent for this process. If people think that this can't be done, they haven't done their homework. It's like your ice pack that sits on your shelf in your first aid kit for 20 years. Mm-hmm. You mix the chemicals together, you have ice. They can and are ice nucleating. People should look up Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. They'll find mainstream media did cover this because it was in China.
Okay.
Until they did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing because this snow is heavy, wet snow. That's a new term used by the Weather Channel because this snow is not natural. It's much more moisture laden. It's extremely devastating to the forest. And if you look at the snowstorm from December 21st in our forest, it looks like a tornado went through it. There's trees on their backs everywhere, broken, damaged, knocked over. So you have the roots being damaged from bioavailable aluminum, so they're deteriorating. Now you add this adhesive concrete, heavy, wet snow. And again, we have the patents for this. People can look up geoengineers create artificial snowstorms. This data is there. If people
just need to look.
Be a Nike.
Well,
John?
Interesting, I looked up.
Poor John.
Chinese scientist ice nucleation. I get 23,000 results. Yeah.
There you go.
So it's right there. Okay.
Hey, John.
Sorry.
It's so exciting over here in the studio. How are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I'm curious about something. Now, up until a few years ago, we were hearing about acid rain and how it was messing our fish up and lakes and streams and whatnot. And now it's aluminum and it's turning to alkaline. So what is going on with this? Did they originally start doing this just to get rid of the acidity and create this alkaline problem? Or are they doing, I know they're doing it on purpose, but what is their reasoning? Are they trying to get rid of the people? Are they trying to get rid of the trees? Are they trying to get rid of the, what are they doing?
It's a complex problem. Again, I think many layers to this onion. You have military strategic purposes, and in that regard, there's no regard for the consequences. There's no concern for the consequences. Why would they detonate 1,800 nuclear bombs around the planet, exposing every bit of life on Earth to the fallout from that? So you have programs going on with no regard for the consequences. Acid rain is one aspect. This is not a simple black and white equation. That's one aspect related to one part of this issue, carbon in the atmosphere. The aluminum is simply a material that is used because of, and I've been to international conferences on geoengineering with the world's most recognized geoengineers. The stated reason for using aluminum is because it has four times the albedo of sulfur. When you see geoengineering articles in mainstream science publications, they always refer to sulfur. Why? Because it sounds natural. It sounds like something the Earth would do on its own, a volcano. So they try to make it sound benign, but they don't mention the fact that the patents and the programs use aluminum because it's more reflective. It reflects more sunlight than sulfur, four times more, and it has 1/16th the coagulation rate, which means the particulates don't clump together when they fall down. So again, all these scientists look at is what works best for their experiment. They don't give a damn about the fallout on the ground or what it does to soils or pHs. Now, the Pacific Northwest has acidic soils, so it raises our pH toward neutral. In other areas like Montana, where you have naturally alkaline soils, there's not so much of an effect from the pH there. So again, John, it's not necessarily to try to change pHs one way or the other. It's simply a material that works best for the particular part of the experiment they're doing, and there doesn't seem to be regard for the fallout. So I don't think that those issues are necessarily directly connected as a goal, but it's simply there's a lot of aspects to this equation, and again, none of it sane and none of it really accomplishing anything but decimation on the planet. And it's like a lot of experiments that go on. Why do they detonate hydrogen bombs in the atmosphere? Project Starfish, people can look this up in the 60s just to see what would happen. I mean, this is insanity of the first order. So, and again, what I believe, the ramping up of these programs, they have damaged the planet now. The climate system is absolutely positively damaged from these programs. And I think so much so, we're seeing methane mass expulsion in the Arctic. This is not about Al Gore stuff. You know, Al Gore is an idiot and certainly his programs are shams. But that doesn't mean these programs haven't damaged the climate, because they have. And so now I believe the climate is so damaged, people can look up Arctic methane emergency. This is a global game-changing event by itself, because geoengineering has altered wind currents, which has in turn altered ocean currents.
I've noticed the changes in the weather over the years, couple of years anyway. And one thing that I've noticed, too, about myself, right? Now, my memory is starting to dissipate, And I thought it was like AAADD, age activated attention deficit disorder or something, because I'm getting older. But then when I hear about all this aluminum in the air, and I know what aluminum can do to your memory and what it does to your brain, and I'm starting to wonder, if is this what's going on?
I can tell you this without any speculation at all. This material is there. It's coming down on all of us. We're absolutely breathing it, absorbing it, and we know the effects. So it's not your imagination, and I'm not being alarmist.
I didn't think it was.
It's not. And again,
and I'll tell you, it's very difficult to get people to listen when you try to tell them about this. Oh, no, they wouldn't do that. You know, but people just don't take the time to pay attention. We've been forced over the last several years to work so hard just to make our mortgages and our land payments and just to be able to eat and stuff, that we've negated the fact that we need to pay attention to what's going on.
They count on that.
Mm. Yeah, they do. They count on that. And it's killing us all.
You're exactly right. And again, the reason I focused the last decade on this issue alone is not because it was the most comfortable to me or the most familiar to me. Quite simply, it's the most dire issue, period. And based on a decade of research, I believe there's no greater nor a more immediate threat to all life on Earth than geoengineering, except the only exception being nuclear catastrophe. Geoengineering is affecting the entire web of life, and we see the stats. I mean, we have the red flags. We have the Alzheimer's, autism stats, and we have a host of other stats to go with it. Scientists scratching their heads, can't figure out where all this particular pollution is coming from, can't figure out why the atmosphere is full of this stuff that they don't, you know the origin of. I mean, it's all ridiculous at this point. These programs are real, and I encourage everybody, investigate, investigate, investigate. And when you're telling people about it, John, don't run out in the street, start ranting and pointing at the sky.
Oh, no, you can't do that. People will not listen.
They won't. Have some credible data to give to them. Go slowly. Mm-hmm. Give them something to go home and digest, and they'll get it eventually. As they keep looking up, if they give a damn, they'll get it, if they do any research at all.
Yeah, last week when you guys were talking about this on the air, I was looking up, and it was a beautiful, clear, sunny day in the morning, and I'm watching a tic-tac-toe pattern being created above us here in Redding, and by that afternoon, we were totally covered with cloud cover.
Artificial toxic cloud cover, and people should learn to recognize the difference. A sky should be blue, a cloud should be white.
How do you get away from it? You can't really go inside and expect the air not to get to you.
These particulates go through anything. You can't filter it out. 10 nanometers is so incredibly tiny that you literally can't filter it out. So there's nowhere to hide from this. That's why we're at the point where, again, my decision to stand up against this issue. If you're standing on the end of the plank, there's nowhere else to go, nowhere else to hide. You have no choice but to turn and...
Dive.
Yeah, you have to turn and try to bring this issue to light while there's still something left to save.
Right, but how do we, as a people, get together enough people to stop this?
Well, again, the system is rigged inside and out, so there's no...
Oh, I know. I've been to court a few times. I know all about it.
Okay, but
our system is so messed up.
If we could simply bring this to the light of day, where media cannot ignore it any longer, where the villagers are literally grabbing their pitchforks and torches and demanding this issue be covered, if it can be brought into the light of day, those participating in these programs, we believe enough of them would refuse to participate, where these programs could, in fact, be brought to a halt. I certainly don't believe the majority...
I think the biggest problem at this point in getting people together to do this is, like I said before, people are being forced to work so hard just to keep the little bit that they have that they don't have the time take care of and to pay attention to what's really going on.
I fully agree with that, but at some point we are literally faced with a fight for life, and that's not alarmism. When you can't walk out the door and breathe without sucking this stuff up, I mean, you're literally fighting for life and our children's lives as well. I mean, this is extremely detrimental to younger people. So this is a matter of, although it's a slow kill, if you will, it's still occurring, and we are simply going to have to put some things aside to bring this issue to light. And if we could, I think it would make clear to people just how expendable they are, that the fact that they've been subjected to a grand and lethal experiment without their knowledge or consent will not go down well with people, and I think that will help bring many other issues to light.
Yep, hasn't been the first time either.
Well, how do you get people to pay attention to this?
Well, we're going to...
Well, doing things like this.
On a mass scale, I think people can actually make a difference.
I think you do it one at a time. And again, if you effectively introduce this to two people at the beginning day of a 30-day month. You reach two people. You took some time, you educated yourself, and you got some credible data, and you presented it to two people, and you got them on board. And those two people got two people each the second day of that 30-day month. If you continued that pattern through 30 days, that's 5.5 million people, and that's how you get there.
But what I've been hearing from people when I explain this to them is, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. I'm not going to have to worry about
they are
it.
Dead. They are dead wrong about that.
I know, and they don't get it. They just don't get it.
Well, this is what I would say. They're not going to have a choice for long. The seeds you're sowing will find fertile ground soon enough, because the atmosphere is being ripped apart, and that is not figuratively. It's literally being ripped apart.
I've watched the sky change. I'm almost 60 years old, and I've watched the sky change over my life.
So I would say this, no matter what reluctance you get, if you continue to plant those seeds, as things unfold in the coming months and people begin to look up, you'll be surprised how many seeds sprout. And it's up to all of us.
I hope so.
We simply have to engage in this effort. And again, if we all begin to do it, and now many people are waking up. I've been contacted from scientists from major universities. They're now sending the warning out to other scientists at other universities. This is spreading much faster than you think. So
I know it is. It's like hurting people a lot faster than people think, too.
Well, I mean, the awareness is spreading much faster than you think. So don't lose heart. Educate yourself. We try to put a lot of data on our site. There's no politics. Geoengineeringwatch.org. Get some credible data. Share it with others, and continue to one-on-one do this, because if we all engage, we'll reach critical mass before you think.
All right. Thanks, John.
Right. Thank you. Hey, and Ernie, I hope you're listening to this. Have a good evening.
Bye. I don't know who Ernie is.
I don't either.
He's probably referring to Ernie of Ernie and Dave and Let's Sell It on Saturday morning. Okay. I believe John called the show yesterday morning.
Okay.
Which is about 180 degrees opposite of this one as far as topic, although it is often just as silly.
Little inside baseball there.
On KCNR 1460.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Last one. We're going to come up at the top of the hour. We'll finish up with Dan Wigginton here on geoengineeringwatch.org. So look it up. Listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
And speaking
that's
of Bob,
the home run of home runs.
Speaking of Bob, questions. That's great.
Yes, a couple of quick questions here. Gina of Reading wanted to ask Dane, which, if any, countries are being affected the most by chemtrails, and which are the least affected, or geoengineering, I should say.
It appears from satellite data imagery that the southern hemisphere, specifically South America, the southern end of South America, is probably one of the least affected. But beyond that, there's really nowhere to hide. We have people from New Zealand. There's groups down there organized trying to fight this issue in places as remote as New Zealand and Tasmania. And we're hearing that there's so much spraying going on, the sheep are getting sick. And this is not imagination either. We've had from Norway. We had the researchers there test the native grass that the cows are eating in Norway. They quantified the amount of metal, aluminum specifically, showing up in that grass, and then calculated the amount a cow would eat over the course of a year. It's just over a half a kilo of aluminum. That's a phenomenal amount of metal that's being absorbed in this grass. And the cows are dying there in half the time they normally would have, or less. So, I mean, this is saturating into the entire web of life, altering DNA in plant organisms, and certainly at some point we would think this would have a similar effect on us. So, there's really nowhere to hide from this. The southern end of South America is probably one of the least affected areas, but we still see aerosol activity there, and as far beyond that, there's nowhere to hide.
And Bob, you had a question?
I did. You were talking earlier about the phenomenon of the reduced rainfall, and I just wondered, is rainfall a zero-sum game? In other words, if there's less rainfall here, is there a corresponding amount of greater rainfall somewhere else on the planet?
Great question. That can be the case. So what we see in the continental U.S. that's being sprayed heavily, we do see protracted drought. People can look this up. The U.S. drought monitor, it's very bad and getting worse by the day. What do we see in Western Europe? We see record rainfall. So when you throw a wrench into the system, it affects the whole system, and people should understand that. You create drought in one region, deluge in another. Overall, global rainfall is down. It should be up. The planet is, for whatever people consider the cause, the planet is warming. There should be more rainfall, 7% more moisture for every degree of Fahrenheit warming. But we don't. We see less moisture, and the only explanation is the geoengineering particulates. But it does cause drought and deluge. There's weather extremes, and we see that happening.
Well, and you look at all these agencies, you know, California Air Resources Board, you know, EPA, all these guys that are micromanaging all this crazy stuff. You know, just last week they're bringing back panthers to Florida. Florida needs panthers. Yeah, Florida needs panthers.
We're not talking about the hockey team.
I mean, they're working on all this stuff, but if actually, you know, if you think about it, if you back up from the problem and you back up from the results and all that, and you look at this, if they acknowledged that this was going on and that this had a cause and effect relationship, think of all the things they wouldn't need to micromanage for, you know, hundreds of
it would change everything.
Billions of dollars.
And all these little micromanagement projects are nothing but programs of mass distraction. And they worry about cow flatulence, for example, as a global warming issue, when these programs appear to have released mass methane deposits in the Arctic that are now changing the planet by the day, and there's no discussion about that. So, again, people need to do some research and get to the bottom of the real issue here and start to try to get their arms around the gravity of these programs. It's affecting the entire web of life.
Yeah, they're always talking about the Arctic and the ice there and all that.
But they don't talk about geoengineering, which is total ridiculousness. I mean, this is the biggest elephant in the room. It's the single largest causal factor for climate disruption, period. And the scientific community is openly discussing this, but not admitting it's going on.
And you met with a scientist here recently you have more and more going on the record, right?
We do. We have an interview now with a scientist from Stanford. We have not released that yet. But I met again with NOAA scientists about 6 months ago who told me, in their words, they know about these programs, are alarmed as hell, but don't know what to do about it because they have no First Amendment protection.
Wow.
Academia knows.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. Okay, so they wind up like Dr. Paul Hauser, who blew the whistle on the science of the non-science of the Klamath Dam, the agenda behind it,
and
they wind up demonized and
exactly
fired.
Exactly.
And in the first part of May, we will have someone on the show who will be also a scientist who is now speaking out against CARB, who has become a whistleblower from UCLA. So there are more and more people coming forward.
Good. And as we gain critical mass, these agencies will be seen for what they are. They're simply fronts to try to mask, hide, and cloud massive or huge things that are going on in the environment that they're trying to hide. So that's their only purpose at this point. Cloud the issue.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks,
Kane. No pun intended.
Sure you did.
Pun intended. We require it. Alrighty, folks. Another week of We the People Radio. Hope you love it. WeThePeopleRadio.us is the place where all the archives are. You can send this program to your friends here in an hour or so. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Dane.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Robert, for taking care of the website.
Well, again, thank you, Robert, absolutely, for doing that for us.
Thanks for addressing this issue that so direly needs to be exposed. Thank you to all of you.
Thanks for doing the homework. Obviously, right. We're unqualified.
Dane, thanks for sitting in with us this morning. We look forward
everybody.
To seeing you at the Tea Party
everybody's
meeting tomorrow night. Thank you, Aaron, Elizabeth. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.